It's 88.5 KCSN, and we're joined by Harry Shearer, which it seems weird saying that we're joined by Harry Shearer when we hear you every week on KCSN.
On this very air, yeah. But I'm not that often here in person.
You are not often
anywhere
in person, as we discussed coming in. Let the fans know that you are a traveling man, both in the sense of the different things you do,
yeah,
the multifaceted career you have, and the three, at least, that I know of places of residence.
Yeah. I realized quite a long time ago, and now I'm able to live out what I realized, that the best way to survive in show business is to be a moving target. If they can't get a beat on you, they can't get you out of the business.
And you certainly have done that in terms of, you have, well, just last year, you were a song and dance man on the London stage.
Yes, I was, particularly dance, and a play that was in London's West End, a really wonderful new play, very serious play, and I was starring in it with this woman who is not known in this country, but is regarded in Britain as a national treasure, Maureen Lipman, and we both had to learn how to ballroom dance from one of the coaches of Britain's version of Dancing with the Stars. So there, yes, I was up there practicing my feats of terpsichore. Thank you. Thank you very much. And actually, I did the singing part. There was a tribute, and everybody's doing tributes to Sinatra this year,
because right,
it's his 100th. And there was one in New Orleans at the beginning of October, and my friend of mine was the musical director, and he said, would you emcee it? I said, yes. He had, you know, 20-piece big band doing all the original arrangements. I said, yes, but I have to sing one song. And so I got to sing in front of a big band playing the original Nelson Riddle arrangements, a very rare Sinatra song, the only one I think that revealed any slice of his true personality. It was called You'll Get Yours.
Yeah, that would sound him. But then on the other hand, if we were looking in the holiday spirit, I know for a fact there are a great many waiters and washroom attendants and parking valets who would say no one would give you yours like the chairman. He was pretty good with the scratch.
Yeah, and then if you got on the wrong side of him, your knees would be crying for a while.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Jilly, take care of business.
I guess it's the 10th anniversary of, yes, when you first got the idea to start to do your Christmas shows.
Yes. This was a party that we were having in our house because Judith had come here from London. She's a Welsh woman.
Judith Owen,
my wife, the singer and songwriter and piano player. And she'd come here, and because she's Welsh, prone to melancholy, and nothing made her more melancholy than the beautiful weather in Southern California at Christmas time. She was going, where's the rain? Where's the cold? Where's the wet? Where's the gray? So a mutual friend of ours, a wonderful Hollywood producer named Rob Long, and I decided to have a party at our house and invite our friends over, our musical and comedy friends. And Rob is a great cook and baker, and so there was a lot of food and booze, and people would just do a song or two, and then Judith would lead everybody in Christmas carols, and that would be that. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And one year, 10 years ago, the woman who booked the Walt Disney Concert Hall here in town said, do you want to move it out of your house?
That's a step up.
It is a step up. And so that was the first time and it was the year of Katrina. So we did it as a benefit for the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. And that started us. And every year since, we've done it. This show, which is now called Christmas Without Tears, always in L.A. and New Orleans, sometimes in San Francisco and Seattle, usually New York and Chicago, sometimes London, always as a charity thing. This year in New York, it was for the Elton John AIDS Foundation. Here in L.A., it's going to be for My Friend's Place, which is a facility that takes care of teens in trouble. And then we finish it up in New Orleans.
The organization that goes into, the effort that goes into for lack of a better term, a variety show, would that be fair?
It's a variety show disguised as a party.
Yeah, which some variety shows were, they were parties disguised as a variety show, deans. Yeah. In fact, I think would do that. There's a lot of work that goes in. There's the interpersonal, you asking friends and how, with your schedules, both you and Judas, it's just a commitment, right?
You know, it starts sort of, we look at each other in August and say, okay, we got to start making calls again.
You're like my wife. That's when she starts shopping for Christmas
that's
stuff.
<it. laughs> Well, that's when the bargains are. Although these days in this economy, the bargains are every day. Please come in.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's because it's not a regular show. We're not paying people to say, well, skip your regular gig and do this instead. So we're basically depending on the goodwill of our friends to come on down. And it's people, again, in comedy and music, Fred Willard and Jane Lynch and all sorts of folks will be at the L.A. shows at the Largo this Saturday and Sunday. And it's fun. That's the main reason we get people to do it, is because it's fun to hang out. It's a fun hang. They do one or two pieces of their own and then hang for the time when Judith forces everybody to sing Christmas songs and gives them ratty gifts for their performance of the 12 Days of Christmas. And it is, you know, after each one, the folks who take part in it say, wow, this was fun. I want to do this next year. So that's really, that makes it a lot easier to convince people to do it. The audience has fun too, of course, but they're the ones who are contributing to the good causes, as are the artists who contributed their time and effort.
I assume that you know, when we talk about, you know, the true meaning of the holidays and the Christmas spirit, I assume that even the most cynical comics and entertainers...
You're looking at me.
I am looking at you. There's a point where you really do feel that spirit that probably takes place every time you do it.
Well, here's the thing. The show is a heady mixture of reverence and irreverence. Judith writes very heartfelt songs about the season because it means... The holiday means so much to her in terms of her life growing up with her family, the people who were gone, all of that. I write a song each year. My one this year is Christmas a la Trump. So, you know, that's the balance right there.
Yeah, it pretty much, that title alone lets me know I don't believe that's going to make it in any church choir soon.
Although there will be as we currently are planning it, the wonderful actor and incredibly talented vocal arranger John Michael Higgins will be leading again a bunch of us in a cappella singing in the first half of the show under the name of the OK Corral. You're an OK Corral.
Don't be left out in the cold. You don't need no invitation. Your ticket is your soul. And it is Christmas with the devil. Don't you know? Christmas with the devil. No bells in hell.
Harry came and we talked about having the show on the air live here at KCSN, and your love for the medium of radio was so apparent to me. And it's, as I think you concur, it's not as generally shared a love that I would like to see out there in the world. You really do have a place in your heart for the medium of radio.
Oh, yeah. I'm on both sides. I'm an avid listener as well as a creator. You know, I believe... A few things, some based on fact. The people who are least likely to have broadband and a nice spiffy new computer and a smartphone are the old and the poor. So in this headlong rush to get out of broadcasting and get online, one leaves those folks behind. I don't want to. I want them in the tent along with everybody else. There's the immediacy. You know, it's great. I take advantage of it myself to catch up with things I may have missed on the air. I love that ability. I don't have to run a cassette machine, as you did in the old days, to record something you want to hear later. But there's also something, especially for me, I do a topical show. I like people to hear it the day I'm doing it, at the time I'm doing it. You know, it's exciting to me. It's that gathering of an audience as opposed to talking to one person. Radio still offers that. Look, the medium has been trashed 8 ways to Tuesday by the giant companies that were allowed by the Telecommunications Act of 1996 to get bigger and bigger and huger and meaner.
Wall Street ends up pretty much dictating what the practices will be thereafter.
Yeah, and you have this world of commercial radio where guys are sitting in Kansas City saying, "Hey, good morning, San Diego. Wasn't that a great concert we saw last night down at Balboa?"
Right.
And that's the state of radio. So, you know, it deserves some tender, loving care.
You provide that, and you know, as someone who understands what you're actually doing in the hour you're doing it live, mm-hmm. without a net.
Yeah.
Now, you've performed, obviously, the penultimate in Americans' minds, Saturday Night Live. You've done a lot of live theater. You've done live radio. But I don't know if people realize sometimes how much information, topical, both serious and funny approaches to the topics of the day, and you're just doing that
straight on through.
Yeah. It's not easy to assemble in an hour and have it go smoothly the way you make it happen.
Thank you. Well, it's exciting to do it that way. You know, it's not the same thing as standing on a stage and having the electricity of an audience juice you. But to do a live program like that and to be listening to it and to sort of be at moment to moment judging, gee, what should I do next? I'll do this. What should I talk about next? How long should I, you know, all that stuff. I'm pretty juiced by the end of the hour.
Sure.
Just from that, you know. It is a fun thing to do. It's exciting. I've had some experience at doing it, so I screw up, but you know, the I think it's the Navajo, and they're not the only ones, had a rule that when you're making a garment or a rug, you deliberately put in a mistake, because only the divine is capable of perfection. So it's a good thing to remember when you screw up.
I'm going to have to thank you.
Yeah.
That'll explain a lot.
That's right.
I'm really going to put that creed to good practice. You know,
I think we can all thank the Navajos for that.
That came from the fact that when you talk about, I'm sure that while it's fun, and while everyone's having a good time, there's a pride in what's happening. And you take it seriously, and Judith, I know, takes it seriously in terms of making sure that you do the best you can in performance.
Oh, my God, yes. You know, we are both kind of perfectionists, control freaks, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
We take very seriously the craft, you know. We don't take it for granted. You hopefully get better at it every day if you're paying attention. You know, you try to learn something more about what it is you're doing and apply it. That's the only reason to keep doing it. You know, otherwise you're repeating yourself. See what I did there?
I'm not sure. Would you please repeat that?
Yeah. Well, it'd be redundant and repetitive, and I'd be saying the same thing over and over again. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to do stuff half-assed. You know, you're measuring yourself against some inner fantasy you have of perfection. You know, the Navajo thing is good to keep in mind, because we do, being those kind of people, tend to punish ourselves when we screw up or fall short in any way. You know, so it's good to know. Okay, you know, but you still try to. You know, I try to make the radio show the best one I can at any given moment. You know, some are better than others, but I'm always trying to do a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
To put it mildly, I know Judith's attention to her craft is ferocious and meticulous. You know, So that's something we understand about each other is, you know, that that thing of really fiercely wanting to do something as well as possible.
The year to year, as the shows evolved over the 10-year period, have you come to expect a certain outcome? As you talk about how you take things seriously, do you have you now built up a certain gauge of, man, we nailed this one?
Yeah, I have to say, Judith takes the great lead in producing these shows. This is her party, and she'll cry when she wants to. I think there have been shows. I think last year in L.A., a couple weeks ago in Brooklyn, where we looked at each other at the end and said, man, that is the show we want to do, that right there. There's nothing better than that. I mean, the whipsawing from funny to heartfelt and back again. We have in the show here in L.A. A wonderful act. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, if they haven't seen the show, called Godfrey Daniels, which to describe it is to demean it. You just have to see it. But it is just such a showstopper, and it just takes your breath away that something like this happens in the middle of this other stuff. So the idea that it can keep growing and keep getting broader in the array of stuff that we share with people and the array of people we invite. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had Donald Fagen come in for the show in New York, and he did a song I didn't know by Eric Idle, the second word of which was Christmas and the first word of which began with an F.
Yeah.
And there I am suddenly on stage playing bass with Donald Fagen, you know? So stuff happens. Good stuff happens.
Yeah.
And we look and go, wow, that happened, you know? So, yeah, they are planned, and yet, you know, because of the nature of them, they're kind of liquid and
fluid
and spontaneous, yeah. And the audience feels that. They know we're not just putting on a canned show. It's a party for them, with them.
Well, that party is going to be taking place on this Saturday night, December 19th, and Sunday the 20th at the Largo at Coronet. We want to encourage all your listeners. You know, I could sit here and say the KCSN listeners, but they're your listeners, too.
Well, thank you. Can I mention some of the people we got?
I want you to mention them.
A legend in the music business who started his career as a number one chart-selling artist, Peter Asher.
That's right.
The wonderful Rebecca Corey, who's a very, very funny comedian, got the aforementioned Godfrey Daniels, Amy Engelhart, formerly of the Bobs, Julia Fordham, the Lampshades, which is a vocal group, Jane Lynch, Kate Flannery, and Tim Davis, Danya Oxford, a boogie-woogie piano player that will have you off your seat in no time, Jill Sobule, the aforementioned Fred Willard, who will be with us on Sunday night to tell the true story of Christmas, the OK Corral, and Jeff Young, and the Songbirds. I mentioned the Songbirds. Wonderful vocal group. So a whole wicked variety of people, and Judith and me. Judith has written two beautiful new songs for the season, and as I say, I wrote and will be performing Christmas a la Trump.
Buy me an Xbox and feed me some licorice. Tie me in tinsel and sing at my door. Buy me the latest, the greatest in everything. Drown me in chocolate, well, who could want more? But the best things, yes, the best things, price, yes, they're free and they're nicest. It's what you remember in spite of the glitter. And the best thing, it's the best thing, the best thing this Christmas is.
Well, it's something that we have absolutely, you know, we're proud to be associated with you, and we certainly are inspiring our listeners to attend because we know just how much this means, and we also know how sincere you are in your human. You know, you've done a lot, both with this charity and the money you raise for the different causes, and in other causes, you've got a lot of humanitarian concerns. So we can only applaud you for that, and ask our listeners to have some fun this Christmas and feel that spirit of Christmas.
I want to say one more thing. Judith really loves the part of the show where people sing, the audience sings. Mm. And somebody came up to us and, when we did the show in Seattle after the show one year and said, you know, my girlfriend said there was going to a thing with a sing-along component. I said, why don't you just stick a fork in my eyes? I said, but after seeing the show, I want to come every year. I saw a piece of research this year, neurological research. Well, it wouldn't be neurological. I guess it would be cardiological. That when people sing together in choirs, their heartbeats start to synchronize.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what we're fostering.
Medicinal purposes.
This is medicinal purposes. That's right. You don't need a doctor's prescription. However, if your erection lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical
attention. I was going to say, if you have to do all the fine print afterwards, you're going to blow the show.
That's right.
That would take up the show's
time.
That's
correct. Side effects include memory loss and memory loss.
Well, as you can tell, it's fun for us to have Harry here. He's here every Sunday. He's on the air every Sunday here live with Le Show. And we are encourage you to stop out, see Judith Owen and Harry Shearer. It's their 10th anniversary of great, great show. This year, it's Christmas Without Tears is the running title. And
yeah.
It is also the title of the EP.
Yes, which is also a benefit. All the proceeds go to the Elton John AIDS Foundation. Fred tells the true story of Christmas on the CD. Catherine O'Hara sings a wonderful song of her own devising called What Do You Get the Man Who Has Nothing? And my other Christmas song for this year, Too Many Notes with Jane Lynch, Alice Russell, and the amazing Devel Crawford from New Orleans.
So there you have it. We hope that you will join in and literally join in and be part of the show Saturday, December 19th, Sunday, December 20th at the Largo. The EP, as I mentioned, is available now at online and stores mostly everywhere.
Yeah.
Wherever.
Are there stores everywhere?
That's what I was about to allude to. Yes, there's only a few of those, but online everywhere.
Available anywhere where anything is done.
Well... Certainly, we're glad to see you again.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We know that you're
glad to be in the curb.
Your wheels never stop turning, both inside your head and literally on the ground. You're a man in motion, and we're glad that we're part of everything you create. It's Harry Shearer live with us today on 88.5 KCSN. Thanks, Harry.
Thank you.
You got it.